joining.
But if you are part of the EA, if you are a member of the EA, please put EA in front of your name. That helps with voting. I'll wait just a minute or two before we call the meeting to order.
To say, Kate, we're our family is well, my wife and I are a bit different. We're terrible at dates. We give gifts year round, just whenever we think of them and we see something that is interesting, but we rarely give gifts on dates.
See, but that sticks out more, Jeremy.
That does.
That's more
It
unique. People
does.
remember those. You get a Christmas gift in August.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People remember you year round. That's
Yeah.
that's the way to do it.
So, Jana, while we're in the interim before starting, I have to leave. Oh, no, I don't. That's right. I saw it just now. My 1 o'clock meeting canceled. I'm all
Oh,
good.
good.
Phew.
Excellent.
Yeah, I
Okay,
was going to
great.
say
I
I had
know
to
we
leave
have a
early and
ton to
then.
go over. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I think it's 12:03. It looks like we have pretty good turnout. I know there's a few people who won't be here today. Just another reminder to go ahead and put EA in front of your name if you are part of the EA. And I will go ahead at it's 12:03. I'll go ahead and call this meeting officially to order. And we'll start with the roll call with Marcy. Thank you.
Hi, yes. Okay. So roll call. So me, I'm here. Marcus Brooks. Frank Cantone.
Present.
Carl Cornell.
Here.
Erica's can't make it. Rebecca can't make it. Bethany. Jamie Doss.
Present.
Thomas Hanbury. Don Henshaw couldn't make it. Ellie Crum. I saw her, right?
Yep, I'm
She's
here.
here. Yep. Jeremy Cruiser.
I'm here.
Sophie Lanchez.
Here.
Christy Mahoney.
Hello.
Kevin Phipps.
Here.
Stephanie Rizzo.
Here.
Ivan Solas Cruz. I saw him. Yes. Phil Soroka.
Present.
Kate Supron. I'm here. Deborah Serine.
Here.
Jenna Van Houten.
Present.
And Danielle Wyerson.
Present.
Thank you.
Thanks, Marcy. Okay, now we're going to the land acknowledgement of the meeting. Cornell University is located on the traditional homelands of the Gayakono. The Gayakono are members of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, which is an alliance of six sovereign nations with a historic and contemporary presence on this land. The Confederacy precedes the establishment of Cornell University, New York State, and the United States of America. We acknowledge the painful history of Gayakono dispossession and honor the ongoing connection of Gayakono people, past and present, to these lands and waters. So now I will see if there are any late additions or late calls for additions to the agenda. If you have one, please let me know. Okay. So with that, we will go into approval of the November 15 minutes. I don't know if those are yet available. I haven't checked box. Let me just 1 second. And if anyone is quicker than me, please feel free to post them into the comments or into the chat.
Jen, I think we're still finishing those up. So I'm going to finish those and this meeting's minutes and circulate them both next week.
Okay.
So they're a week ahead of the December 20th
Excellent.
meeting.
Sounds great. Thank you, Eric. Okay, we'll roll right into business of the day, which is great because we have a packed agenda here. So we're going to review open positions. And Kate, is that you that will take the lead on that?
Sure, I can take the lead on it. I sent out an email to the EA membership yesterday, and let me pull up what I sent because that's where I have it. With bios for potential members, and I'm looking to see if we have folks here. Michael Boggs, I am not seeing. Kyle, why don't we? Oh, you are there. You're the phone number. I was wondering. Okay, so yeah. We'll start with Michael. Michael has expressed interest in filling the seat for facilities and campus services representative. And Michael, the process is, you know, folks have the paragraph that you'd sent in. You can tell us a little bit about yourself, why you are interested in joining the assemblies, and then folks will be able to ask you some questions. So
okay, is that my cue?
That's your cue.
Okay, thank you. So anyway, Michael Boggs. Sorry, I can't log into Zoom on my computer here, so this is my backup, my phone. I'm in utilities, or currently known as energy and sustainability. I've been here since July of 91. I'm an alum from class of 98. My wife works for Alumni Affairs. And as I stated in my statement there, so I try to stay engaged in as many things as I can. So I do a lot of volunteer for as many of the events as possible. Excuse me. So I do move out, move in. I've done commencement for many, many years. And I've picked up a few more events. I just enjoy doing them, being around the students and the parents as we move in, and just being engaged from a different perspective. Gets me out of my kind of facilities role, and I see the campus from another perspective. So I know a lot of people here. I work, I do a lot of the metering here on campus, but I work with a lot of trades folks. So I felt like I could be a good representative. I am in Humphrey Service Building, and I'm not remote. I'm not a hybrid person. We had to be here right through the pandemic. So I have a lot of face time with a lot of people. And so I thought I know other people in the building here that have done EA. So I thought I would step forward and see if I can play a role here for SPS.
Do folks have questions for Michael? No. All right.
Somebody's got a question in the box.
Oh, someone has a question in the box. Excellent. Where am I? Did you say someone has a question in the box?
No, somebody has to put me on the spot.
Oh, yes. Someone has to put him on the spot. Come on, people. Come on.
I'll ask a question of Michael. Michael, do you foresee any challenges in being able to connect with the rest of the facility workers across campus to, I guess, represent the constituents here in the employee assembly?
I don't expect it to be easy by any means. And as I learn what some of this is, if there's like care of building folks or people that are off shifts. In our plant here, we have folks that are, because our operation's 24 hours from our production side. Those people I can get to because, and I talk to them quite often anyway, but if there's other FCS folks, who some of them are spread around campus, that I would foresee having to make a concerted effort to go reach out to them. And that's something I think I would have to learn, kind of learn as I go. I'm currently on the, I don't know if any of you from Ulysses, but I mean, I'm currently on the town board in Ulysses. So that has been a learning role there to figure out, you know, I can go to a meeting, but that doesn't mean I know what everybody's thinking in the town. So which we're learning about today with our vote. So yeah, I do put some challenges in that regard. I don't expect it to be necessarily easy. So if anybody has any advice for me, feel free. I'm always open.
Thank you, Michael. And thank you also for sharing some ways that you would try to come around that challenge.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. We can go back to it if folks have other questions. We have two additional guests today who have expressed interest in membership. Their bios were in the email yesterday as well. And Kyle, why don't we go to you?
Awesome. Hello, everyone. I'm really happy to be here. I was actually on the board and then was also a voting member in the Graduate and Professional Student Assembly when I was getting my master's at Cornell, which I just completed last May. So I was just rearing to get back into assembly life. I have a couple of resolutions that I didn't quite get over the finish line. But basically, I am running for the CALS membership. I'm with Cornell Cooperative Extension, which is one of the subgroups within CALS. And Cornell Cooperative Extension is based all over the state. And I'm based in New York City, so I'm not in Ithaca. So maybe just to preempt Yvonne Solis's question, I do think it will be a challenge to ensure that I'm representing the thoughts of all of CALS employees. It's a huge department. But if selected to membership, that's my first task would be to reach out to our communications team and see if there's a way. I'm sure that there is a way. We have newsletters, for example, just to get information out there. I think something is better than nothing. And a lot of folks in CALS aren't aware that the assembly even exists. So creating some kind of communication stream so they know that I'm here and they know what assembly is a really good starting point. And then maybe in the future, there is someone who is based on campus who would be interested in taking this role. But I love assembly life. I think there's a lot of value in it. And I'm highly motivated to be an active member.
This isn't a question, but I'll say there's a history of folks who are remote being on the assemblies. Awesome. Right now, Sophie Lanchez, our communications chair for the assemblies, is also based in New York City at Cornell Tech.
Oh,
so
great.
You know, it plays into that whole One Cornell thing. And I know before I was the representative for university relations, the longtime UR staff member lived in Florida who was the rep.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay. We're
also proficient now at communicating electronically that it's hardly an issue. Do other folks have questions for Kyle? No, trying to do that wait time thing. All right, then we will move on, and then we'll consider all three of the potential members together. So, Sean, that brings us to you.
Thank you so much, Kate, and everyone for having me today. So, a little bit about me. I'm actually ILR class of 2018. I never got the memo to leave Ithaca. I just really like this town. You know, the weather suits me, like today, the snow is gorgeous. And since graduating, I've had the opportunity to work in numerous positions across campus, had a stint at the Cornell store, and since then I've hopped over to libraries. And in my various positions with CUL, I've had the chance to directly work with really talented people that keep things going. So Olin, Uris, and now Catwood, where I'm currently sitting. And I'm hoping, if elected to this position, I can draw from the relationships, the friendships that I've built in these roles, and do my best to represent the interest of library and museum employees. So thank you all so much for listening, and let me know if you have any questions.
Okay. Do folks have questions for Sean? All right. Tough crowd today. in a quiet sort of way. So then I think I believe what happens next is that the non-members of the EA get moved into a breakout room and we discuss, and then we will bring you back into the main session after discussion and vote. And then you'll probably, you know, I know you're on the edge of your seats. I bet that you'll then be able to participate in the rest of the meeting as EA members. So Eric, are you able to move folks to a breakout room for us?
Just did.
Okay, super. And I'm also seeing Sherry.
Yes, I'm not a member. I need to go into the breakout room as well, please.
Oh, okay. Yep. Are you just visiting us today?
I am.
Okay. All right. Well, we are really glad to have you. We'll be back in. We'll have you back in a few minutes. That sweet little voice. There we go. All right. I think it's down to just members now. So I had sent out the bios yesterday. I hope everyone had a chance to review them. We all just heard some statements. We have three folks who are we should vote on for their interest, their membership in the EA. Sean Chang for the libraries, Kyle Kamuda for Carnuda. And I apologize, my eyes are so bad that I misspelled her name in the email yesterday. I was like squinting at it. So apologies, it's Carnuda, not Carmuda. For CALS, and then we had, was I right? It was
Michael Boggs.
Michael, thank you. Michael Boggs for Facilities and Campus Services. Do we need a
Hey, welcome back, everyone. We're just waiting for one more person to join. Okay. Welcome back. Thank you for your patience. I am pleased to announce that Michael, Sean, and Kyle have all been voted in as new EA members. So welcome. Congratulations. We are so happy to have you.
Thank you all.
Yeah, welcome. I second what Carl just said. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you so much for having us.
Okay, so now we'll move on to the new inclement weather policy that's on the agenda. And Marcy, go right ahead before I jump.
Sorry, I just wanted to mention, since Wendy isn't here today, she is the chair of the elections committee. And since I believe all of your seats are not expiring this year, 2024, you will also be on new members on the elections committee. So she'll be in touch with you soon about that.
I appreciate that, Marcy. Thank you. Okay, so now about the inclement weather policy. Basically, the new policy came out about a month ago, give or take, and we've received some feedback and concerns about this policy, how it affects staff. So we just wanted to open up this, you know, put it on the agenda, open the dialogue, and just see where it goes. So Carl, if you want to start with any comments or just kickstart the conversation, please go ahead.
Yeah, so I've actually been talking with multiple constituents in my constituency who are extremely unhappy about this new policy. I've had constituents with children that are livid that they have to choose between working and using their PTO to take care of their children on the days off because their jobs don't really facilitate both of those things happening at the same time. And so they feel like this is punishment for being a parent in a way where it's just like, oh, well, now I have to choose whether it's more important for me to stay home with my kids or do work. And their managers, while understanding, may not allow them to do this dual purpose, especially if they have jobs that require intense focus or meetings with particularly important constituents and they have new children. I also have constituents that told me that this feels really targeted towards squeezing production from staff, specifically because faculty aren't going to be obligated to work in their research and they're not teaching. So they don't have to come in and they don't necessarily have to do work. And students aren't going to be on campus and won't be seeking out the administrative work. So it feels very targeted towards maximizing the production from staff members. And then I've heard from some administrative leaders that they're not planning on some of them are not planning on holding their employees to working during these times. So the policy change may not even be upheld in a fair or equal manner. And I'm really worried about how that's going to continue creating this discrepancy of, you know, you've got to get the right job, you've got to fit in the right place, rather than, you know, people being treated fairly or equally between different positions. Personally, I feel it's concerning that several constituents have come to me looking for answers or a place to express their frustrations and haven't really found a place to express this. And they're disheartened and disappointed that this policy has changed and they feel hopeless about what their like ability to do anything about it is. So that's the limit of what I have, but definitely really needed to share that.
Thank you, Carl. That feedback is really good to hear. And it made me think of things that I didn't even consider. So Jeremy, go right ahead.
So I've also had quite a lot of feedback and very similar to what Carl just said. And Carl, you did a great job explaining that better than I would have. So thank you. In addition to that, I have a couple of concerns, one of which is that as the employee assembly, we heard that first through that email. There wasn't a contact to the employee assembly to get feedback on how the staff might respond to this. And it seems like a fairly big decision to make without seeking feedback. So that to me is a big issue. I also, from my perspective, and kind of, I was trying to break this down from the different emails that I got from folks on their thoughts. What we had before was fairly easy to understand, fairly easy to administer policy of, if the weather is bad, classes are canceled, and unless you're an essential worker, you have the day off. Just blanket. That's the policy. And what we've moved to is, if the weather is bad, classes are canceled. If you're essential, you still have to come in. That's always going to be the case. If you work full-time on site but are not essential, you have the day off unless you're an essential part of a meeting with other people who are not, and then you might be pressured into coming in because you have to be a part of those meetings because their day isn't canceled and they're going to be there. If you are hybrid or full-time remote, then you're expected to work from home despite the fact that the schools are closed. Your kids might be home. You have to care for them. You have a responsibility to shovel snow and things like that on your property. And you may be missing some of the employees critical to the work that you need to get done because they are not going to be there unless they get pressured into coming in because they're an essential part of your meeting. So there's that separation there. And if you're full-time remote, not in the area, you're expected to work except for that you're missing critical people. So there's this, it goes from something very simple, very blanket, very equitable across the board. I mean, there's always going to be the exception for essential workers, regardless of the path, to something that is very difficult for an administrator to manage, very difficult for staff to actually do their work properly and not pressure folks who are not obligated to be there. And it's going to be largely reliant on supervisors to make decisions on what is reasonable and what isn't. And that's never going to be an equitable solution. So it leaves the nuances all in the hands of each individual supervisor. If you have a good one, it might be okay. If you don't, it definitely won't be.
Thanks, Jeremy. Yvonne, please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. One other thing that I would like to add to the complex conversation already is that for employees who are fully remote, right, in the sense of that they might be experiencing a different type of weather at the location that they're at. And so this policy impacts them differently as well. And that's not included on the policy right now, right? Like they're expected to work or they might have the day off when in reality, they might have the ability to work. So something else to consider and try to figure out how do we, I guess, provide that support to individuals who are not only fully remote, but also not within the area. For example, like if someone were to be in Florida and a hurricane happens, right, and they don't have access to internet or their computer, what have you, what can we potentially do to support them to, you know, like if they don't have the means to be able to work And will they be then penalized and need to take a day off as opposed to, you know, be received view with grace because whatever is happening at that location that they're at.
And Phil, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just curious. This is pretty much my first winter in Ithaca, and I know the policy states that the rationale for changing the policy was for safety and equity. And from what I'm hearing, it's kind of sounding like that's not happening. So I was curious if there was like background or history as to why they changed this, and maybe any like reasoning for why they're instituting, you know, this kind of top-down change on everybody like that.
Jeremy?
So that just really highlights why I wish they had come to the employee assembly before releasing this decision so that we could have these conversations and have these answers. I think right now we don't.
Thank you.
Yeah, good point.
I also, thinking about what was said about remote employees that are not in the area, my suspicion is that the answer would be that's what personal days are for. But then that's translating this policy into snow days become our personal days. Those are the days we have to take off to take care of our kids. And that seems taking something that was a benefit away and instead having us use at that time for our own, instead of providing some kind of flexibility, it instead just is taking away something that has been a benefit.
Jamie, go right ahead, and then we'll go to Danielle.
Yeah, I just had a question, and I don't know if anybody has any an answer. But was there like a working group that was put together to come up with this update to the policy, or was this just a decision that was made by the provost and other members of leadership?
I cannot answer that question. Does anyone else know the answer?
I don't know the answer to the current one, but I was involved in, as director of emergency management, I was involved with HR and actually Joanne DeStefano and Mary in regards to the development of the policy. And we always ran it by them before it was issued in October, November. Since I'm a retiree, I didn't get the email with the new policy, so I have no idea what it says. But in the past, it's always been run through some of the senior leadership in regards to the impact. So just a little bit background on that.
Thanks, Frank. Yeah, we can certainly look into that for you, Jamie, and for everyone. And we'll go over to, Marcy, did your hand go up to expand on this, or is this something else?
It's kind of for something else. I can let Danielle go first.
Okay, we'll let Danielle and then Marcy. Thank you.
I just wanted to add in, I'm here in arts and sciences where they are considerably less flexible about remote and hybrid arrangements. And the only reason I have one is because I have a medical exemption. All the people that I know in arts and sciences who have hybrid arrangements are because we have medical exceptions. So basically in this policy, it's almost as if we're being singled out that we have to work when no one else does. And that's kind of an additional problematic aspect to the new issue. I mean, my office is going to be closed. I'm going to have maybe two emails to answer. So it's not like I'm bogged down by the work, but it does seem a bit targeted in the colleges that don't have as flexible of arrangements.
Thank you for that feedback. And Marcy?
So, yeah, I just wanted to say that Jessica Reynolds is scheduled to come to our EA meeting on December 20th. That's our next meeting to discuss time away policy. I personally don't know what role she is in HR, or if she's going to be speaking to this or what aspect of the time away policy. If anyone knows, that would be great. But so maybe she can answer some of these questions, I'm hoping.
Yeah, let me, I believe Jessica is like a policy. Jamie, do you know being in HR?
Yeah, so Jessica is new to the compliance team, but she is a compliance administrator, if you will. And so she's working with Becky Hill, who was our new AVP in HR. They're collaborating on that time away policy. I can tell you that Jessica and Becky are extremely collaborative, which is why they reached out to us to get our input. So they should be really great to work with. I don't know that Jessica will have knowledge or information about the inclement weather policy, but she certainly could ask her for sure.
Great, thank you. And Christy.
Hi, thanks. I'm feeling like the message became a little bit confused. And if you think about the inclement weather policy, it's connected with campus operating status when Ithaca campus closes, right? And it's more about safety, right? Like that's the whole point of it. We close the campus for safety concerns of the students commuting to class and the faculty and staff getting to campus. And it feels like the message was more around snow days and being off than it was around the key issue of when the campus status changes. And it feels that the conversation would become more simple if the campus is closed, as Danielle said, what are we working on? So, you know, and if the campus is closed, it applies to the person that's in Florida as well, right? It applies to the person that's in North Carolina or wherever these remote employees may be, because the status of the campus has changed. I don't know if that helps, but in my mind, if you go back to the root of what the policy is, it seems to simplify the discussion, and then it calls into question perhaps even more strongly this email. It seems very odd.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's a few things that we can do to look into this with maybe the Marcy and I, maybe we can talk about this with one of our meetings with leadership. If anyone Christy, go ahead.
If I could just add, we had engaged with Ashley Fazio last year at the Welfare Committee, and we were aware that she was working on policy review. We hadn't had her back, and it was on our to-dos to invite her in the spring. So you might have an avenue there because we had engaged with her previously. So she had spoken with the Welfare Committee.
What, can you repeat her name, Christy?
Ashley Fazio.
Okay, great.
But maybe we know something more.
Jamie.
Yeah, I was just going to follow up on that. So Ashley was temporarily working on policy because we didn't have an AVP of HR. And now we have Becky Hill. So Ashley's not doing that work anymore. So I don't know that she would really be a good resource at this time to reach out to.
Great. Thank you for that.
But she might have some historical knowledge. So, I mean, you can decide, you know, how you want to proceed with that.
Okay. Great. Thank you. And yeah, maybe we can get one of our committees, like the benefits and policy, to dig into this too. I think there's a few different avenues we can go down to talk about this. Jeremy, go ahead.
I just want to advocate for what you first said, which was having the executive team at least reach out in a leadership kind of faculty into talking to our leadership about why this was a surprise to us. This shouldn't have come to us as a surprise to the employee assembly.
Great. Thanks, Jeremy. I appreciate that feedback. So that does seem like the most effective way to proceed. So if anyone, you know, after this meeting has any additional thoughts, please send an email to me or the executive team. If you just send it to me, I'll make sure the executive team sees it as well. But we'll go ahead and we'll look into this. So if there's nothing else to be said, we'll go ahead and move on to the next topic. Thank you for a great discussion. So just a reminder, we are meeting on December 20th. If we can informally just, I know it's a little bit close to winter break. We do have the time away policy person, Jess Reynolds, who will be here. So I know it's a little close, but is anyone planning on not being here just so we can plan ahead? Okay. So we have 1, 2, 3 or 4. Okay, we'll go ahead and see if we might be. Carl, are you? You're out too? Okay.
Yeah, I'm so out. Four.
Okay.
I can send you my statement as well. So that way you have it for that meeting. Or I can see if I can find some time to come to the meeting. But I'll be traveling during that time. So
I understand. No, you shouldn't. No, if you're off, that's understandable. It probably makes sense to keep things as scheduled. So I think we'll go ahead and proceed, and we will absolutely keep everyone posted with the outcome of that discussion. And then another, just an odd thing since, Marcy, go ahead.
Sorry, just saying, I took notes on what everyone said as well, because I do believe we are meeting. Our next meeting with Christine will be next week. So I just wanted to make sure I got everyone's thoughts. And if you weren't able to say, share your piece too, certainly send me or Jana an email just so that I would really like to get our words ahead of her and maybe have some answers. If you can.
Thank you, Marcy. All right. And then, so our January 17th meeting, normally we meet on the first and the third Wednesday of the month. We will not be meeting on, I believe it's January 3rd, just coming back off a winter break. So that's a little bit of a change in our schedule, but we will be meeting on January 17th. So just wanted to make sure everyone was fully aware of that. And if there's nothing to, I'm just checking a few things in chat, but it looks like we are good. Okay, so we'll move on to committee reports, starting with the executive committee. So Marcy, you can go right ahead when you're ready.
Yep, so we were just working on the agenda for this meeting, looking for what we're doing for our next couple of meetings, trying to get a handle on all of our people who wanted to present to us. But yep, just working on it.
Great, thank you. And Sophie with the Communications Outreach and Recognition Committee.
The Communications Committee met on Monday, and we went over the George Peter Award nominations and voting. And so we have notified the supervisors of the winner, and they're going to celebrate. I can't disclose who it is yet, but that's in the works. And then for EA Voice for December, we plan to release it in the week of December 18th. In that, we'll include campus updates during the holidays from Cornell University, Cornell Tech, and also Geneva campus as well. Also, in the last EA meeting, United Way Cornell shared out. So I communicated to Jamie from United Way Cornell to get a flyer from them so I could include that in the newsletter as well. And I believe that's all from, that's not it. Also, we need a EA member spotlight person for December. Would anyone like to volunteer to be the spotlight for December? It's very simple. We send you like 4 questions just to ask about yourself and your experience in the EA. So anyone, does anyone want to volunteer? If no one volunteers, I'm going to use the random picker to choose someone. No. Okay, Jana, do you want to be?
Oh, I think Jeremy.
Oh, Jeremy.
I don't know, Jana. You spoke up. I was too quiet.
No, I saw your hand.
I think you just volunteered yourself.
It's very simple. It's not.
I will do it if Jeremy doesn't want to.
Either way is fine.
I think Jeremy should do it since I'll be writing the intro.
Okay, I'll. Okay, thank you so much, Jeremy. All right, and now that's all from communications.
Thank you, Sophie, and thank you, Jeremy. Okay, so Christy Mahoney with the Welfare Committee.
Hello. Our last meeting was last week, and we had a really interesting update and discussion with transportation regarding updates on transit, TCAT, and then there was lots of discussion around the modifications that have been made in the parking ticketing and the fee schedule on that, and understanding the activity of monitoring lots and registering vehicles versus permitting and motorcycle parking and maintenance and lots of interesting things. So it was a great discussion. I have notes if anyone is interested. It was a great conversation. They were very open and collaborative. We were looking at what activities for the spring and involving a discussion on policy review. So we had raised with Ashley before questions and concerns around funeral leave, around flexible holidays that are more responsive to diverse practices by our employees and inclement weather, ironically. We are trying to advance a conversation around what we're labeling it moving beyond land acknowledgement. We've reached out to a few people to try to initiate a conversation around what we could be doing in perhaps guiding or leading the employees to thinking beyond the statement at the beginning of meetings. And I think that's it. That's what we've been doing. Anyone want to join? Please let me know. I'll add you to our meeting invites.
Great. Thank you so much, Christy. It looks like Kyle might be interested. So that's excellent. Thank you, Kyle. Next is Bethany Dixon. I don't think Bethany is here. So we will go ahead and Wendy isn't here either. So I don't know if anyone has anything to add for the Benefits and Policy or the Elections Committee. I do think the Benefits and Policy Committee will be meeting tomorrow for the first time. So anyone with the Elections Committee? No. And oh, Phil is interested in joining the Welfare Committee. So that's excellent. Thank you, Phil. Okay, well, we will move on to liaison reports. Marcy, go ahead.
I would just like to mention the past university assembly meeting. President Pollack was able to come to that. We have, and just as an aside, we have been working with the Office of Assemblies to try and get a time that the president can come to our meeting. But that hasn't happened yet. I guess she's very busy. We did ask, or the question was put forward from the employee assembly about free speech and how the employees can participate. And that question can be taken two ways. As how can we, you know, in a participate in free speech? How can we promote the year of expression of free speech? And also, how can we as employees participate in free speech when faculty, tenured faculty are somewhat sheltered and protected, and students are a bit more protected than employees? And she did answer it both ways. She was very thoughtful in her answer, that she recognized that we do have a kind of a different role, where our words do have action, or, you know, have reactions, you know. So it was pretty interesting. And also, how can we participate by going to sessions, being promoting the free speech initiative? But it was very interesting to have her speak about that. She answered a lot of other questions, but that was the one that stood out. If anyone else was at that meeting, who remembers more, certainly speak up. But yeah.
You know, I think you captured that correctly, Marcy. Thank you so much. And they did mention that there would be some sort of classes or something down next semester that we could partake in. But Jeremy, go ahead.
Did we miss Education Committee?
Not yet. Not yet. So if there's anything left with University Assembly, I think we can go on to Education Committee. Go right ahead, Jeremy.
So only a little bit to say on Education Committee. We meet next week, but the committee hasn't learned about this yet. We did have some turnover in the cooperative extension, which is going to change some of the conversations that we've been having around employee education for our county staff in the CCE offices, maybe for the better. So, which is great. Other than that, I will have more to report next time. I did have one other thing to mention, which is I am the current UA rep for the Employee Assembly. I am looking to step down. So if anyone is interested in becoming a rep for the University Assembly, from the EA to the University Assembly, and has any questions, please let me know and follow up with the executive team to get that moving. That's all.
Great. Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you. And thank you for your time on the UA. Yes, if anyone else is interested in taking Jeremy's seat, please let us know. Kate, go ahead.
I'm not raising my hand to say pick me, but rather, Jeremy, can you explain what is involved, the time and commitment involved in that? Because we have, as we know, several new members who just joined today and several over the last couple of weeks.
Sure. So the University Assembly meets twice per month, every 2 weeks, same as Employee Assembly. It's an hour and a half long. It is in the afternoon evening time frame. I think they start at 4:30. I have to check my calendar because I just follow my calendar to do whatever it tells me to. It's really interesting because you have representatives from each of the assemblies there. So you'll have faculty from the faculty Senate. You'll have students from both the undergraduate student assembly and the graduate student professional assembly. And you'll have, employee representatives, as well as liaisons from university groups. So topics tend to cover more than what just impacts employees, though almost everything also impacts employees. So it's a great way to learn more about upcoming things. We didn't hear about a change in weather policy there either. it's a good way to get involved and really broaden your perspective of the university. We get a lot of that here just by having representatives from all across campus, but now you'll have kind of that faculty and student perspective as well. I've really enjoyed it. I've just been doing it for years now, and I'm ready to move on to doing other things and spending that time elsewhere.
Yeah, thanks, Jeremy. And just to confirm, it's on Tuesday evenings from 4:45 to 6:15, I believe. And it is a good opportunity to meet with members from all of those four groups or three groups. Any other liaison reports?
Okay. With that, we'll move into open discussion. So anything that anyone would like to bring up, please feel free to use this time to do so. Yvonne.
Yes, thank you. So I was looking at our, and maybe someone can share a little bit more information about this, but with myself included, being a newer member and us, you know, like welcoming new members now and trying to continue the recruitment in filling those positions, I wonder about the policy on attendance. I was just looking at it, and what I saw is that someone may be unseated if they miss more than two unexcused absences. And I guess my question is, what about excused absences, in the sense of like, at what point does someone, at what point is someone's absence potentially not allowing other voices to be heard within this team, this group, this employee assembly? And you know, like, I guess what I'm trying to say here is that if someone is joining the group and is unable to make it because of something that's happening that month, I completely understand that. And if they continuously are not able to make it, then could that be an opportunity for someone else that has the capacity and opportunity to represent constituents from that area? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Marcy, are you, do you want to respond?
Yep, I can answer. I think I can answer that question somewhat. So if an excused absence is when you tell us beforehand, or even maybe even during the meeting, or even like right before the meeting, anytime right before the meeting, that you can't make it, that's an excused absence. I don't believe there's anything in our bylaws that says how many excused absences you can have. But an unexcused absence is where you don't show up and you don't come to the meeting. Well, you don't come to the meeting. You don't tell us that you're coming, not coming to the meeting. That's an unexcused absence. The bylaws do say after two, you can be unseated, and you can request to be reseated if you, you know, if you, you know, something comes up, some urgent, you know, whatever. I don't know what happens, but, and you can ask to be, you know, reseated at that time. I hope that answers that question.
Thank you. And thank you, Marcy, for responding. And thank you, Yvonne, for asking that question. I also, with all the new members, that if you are, you know, life happens, if you cannot come to a meeting, please let Marcy Benda know. She is the person to email with that. Carl, go ahead.
Yeah, I think that did a good job of getting to excuse versus unexcused absence. But I also myself have been wondering, for people who don't consistently show up or who have missed more meetings than they've attended, is their position really utilizing, or are we utilizing that position in the best way possible? And with the constituents in mind, is that the best representation of the constituents? And I don't want to like pinpoint anyone out, so I'm not going to, but there have been times where I've noticed a specific name or two that hasn't been here for one reason or another week after week. And it's not something that I like, I'm out to get anyone in particular. I just want to make sure that when we think about fair representation, we're thinking about being there and being present for the constituents that we're representing. We have a responsibility in this position.
Great. Thank you, Carl. Jeremy.
So I think this is a fantastic topic to discuss more fully. I think that probably it should go to a committee to have a more in-depth discussion. It's probably better, because there's a lot of nuance there. It's probably better to have somebody who rarely shows up than not have a representative in the seat. But if you have somebody interested in the seat and somebody not sharing, how do you balance all of these things, and how do you make equitable decisions that can be repeated over time, regardless of who's making those decisions? So I think there's a really valuable conversation there. And part of that's in elections. I mean, if you never show up and somebody wants to run against you, I think you have a pretty good campaign to say, hey, he's been at two meetings in the last term, elect me and I'll actually show up to meetings. That's a pretty good platform to run on.
Thanks, Jerry. Phil.
Yeah, I just, this is something I had been thinking about, not this topic specifically, but I think it relates to the topic. But one, I know when it comes to engagement, one of the hard things is having the difference between synchronous and asynchronous engagement. And I know the employee assembly has a LinkedIn page, but I wonder if there's like a group or anything we can create that has an asynchronous page where people can ask questions or something like that. Something, it's something to consider. I know I've used it for student groups and that, and it's something I've used in previous organizing, but it's a way to keep people sort of on, keep them, the radar on the committee or on the assembly, rather than just every 2 weeks it's showing up kind of thing. That's just, yeah, that's something to consider.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jeremy did have a good, we do use Teams. Go ahead, Jeremy.
I was just gonna say, I've been trying to encourage folks to use Teams more. Email's great, but I get a lot of email, and honestly, if I'm swamped and I click something as read and I don't have time to read it, it's gone. I'll never look at it again. But if we use Teams, which we haven't actually been leveraging, I think, to its fuller capacity, those messages stay there and I can come back and look at it later and kind of scroll back and see what I missed. So I would love, particularly as IT, CIT, I'm now fully remote. This is the way I interact with Cornell, is through Zoom and through Teams. I would love to have more interaction, even on a more kind of casual, it doesn't have to be nearly as formal as our meeting structures are, to just have casual conversation over topics. What do you think of this idea that I'd like to address? Have those in Teams where more folks can respond to them. We can interact a little more. I would love to have that happen.
And does anyone know who manages the membership for the Teams channel? Is Eric, is that the Office of Assemblies, or I guess I don't know.
I think we can actually add members.
Yep. Okay, great.
Go ahead. There's a question of administration there too, making sure that folks from previous terms are not there if we don't want them there, but maybe we don't care. It's kind of open. We tend to be generally very open. So there's some decision making to make there if we talk about opening it up wider than our current constituency. Do we make a separate channel that's only EA members then and lock down to that? So we could have some discussion on how better to format our team's environment to support the assembly.
Yeah, good point. Marcy?
Do we have a general EA team channel? I know Jeremy made one for the education committee, but is there a general EA team channel?
Yes, there is. And I have occasionally posted events and things like that have come my way. To that, I don't know the distribution. I am admittedly still getting used to Teams. So, Carl?
There is a general Teams channel. It has old members. It has members who are no longer on the assembly. So I don't know if it's the most updated. Also, there's a difference between general channels and maybe a chat with all the active members of the EA representatives. And I think a chat would be better than the general form, because things on the general form don't go away or are saved forever on Microsoft servers, where chats eventually are wiped from the Microsoft servers, is my understanding of that. So it also, like, it, when responding, I have to go to another tab, get into the team, get into the general to actually see my EA stuff, where I have a chat with the GNC and as the executive board, it just pops up and I can look at it, or I can wait until later to look at it. And it's in the same spot where I'm looking at anyways. So okay. That's just a personal opinion. Take it or leave it.
Very good feedback. Thank you. And I know we're nearing the end of our meeting. So to keep with the time, I'm wondering, is there a committee that might want to look into this, the executive committee can certainly discuss this too, but I'd like to give other committees the option to kind of talk about all of those ins and outs. Sophie? Oh, the communications.
Yeah, I think it would make sense for our committee to do it since we're communications. So
I love it. Thank you. I haven't had lunch yet. So, that would be excellent if you want to look into that, Sophie. And Marcy?
I'm just clapping. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Again, I haven't had my lunch, so I'm running out of teams. Jeremy? And then Kate?
Just want to say I'm very familiar with Teams. If you need any help, please reach out.
Excellent. Thank you. Kate?
Unmute myself. For folks who are new or relatively new to the EA, I will send an update on committees and explain the process for and the options on joining committees and a link to Box.
Thank you, Kate. That's excellent. And Yvonne?
Yes, sorry, I know that we are very limited on time. I just wanted to circle back on the bylaws, particularly as it relates to attendance. Attendance, is that something that a committee can also look into, or is that the executive board, or how do we propose changes, talk about this in further detail?
Mm-hmm. Good question. Sophie?
I think that would have to do with Wendy's role, which is parliamentarian. So we could let her know and then see what we could do. And then it sounds like we would have to put a resolution in.
Probably a conversation there with the executive committee to bring it to the board.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you all.
Excellent, thank you. Yes, we'll bring that up with Wendy and go from there. And does anyone else have anything else to add? We have 4 minutes, but I don't want to take your time unnecessarily. So if I don't see anything, I would welcome someone to motion to adjourn.
I second.
Seconded.
All right. Thank you, everyone. And thank you so much to our new members. And we will see you on the 20th. If not, have a wonderful winter break. Bye, everyone.
Happy holidays.
Bye, girls.